Hey guys, have you ever wondered what happened to the legendary Chuck Norris? I saw a video he made and I was shocked. He is in his 80s, still kicking butt, working out, staying active. He looks like he's got more energy, can work out longer, even has plenty of that energy left over for his grandkids, and he did this by making one change. He said that he still feels like he's in his 50s. His wife even started doing this thing too. She's never felt better. She says she feels 10 years younger, her body looks leaner, has energy all day. And Chuck's made a 20-minute video explaining step-by-step how anyone can do this same thing to see incredible changes in their health. Staying active is important. Moving around keeps you feeling good. Making sure that you take care of your gut health, your digestion, just overall, is also very important. Right now, you can go to mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Watch Chuck's video right now. That's mymorningkick.com/Fightful. Check out what Chuck Norris has to say. What's got him feeling so good these days? He explains everything and you won't believe how simple it is.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to My Point Is. It is Sunday, October 1st. You got my guy, Seahawk, a.k.a. Cameron Hawkins. And myself, Rob Wilkins, here. We are back after a two-week hiatus, but we are glad you are here. We are ready to have some fun. Cam, how you doing, man?
Doing all right, man. You know, Texas football is in the best position it's been in forever. So that's always a good thing, man. We had some good wrestling already this week. Got some good wrestling coming up. So, you know, things are solid. Things are solid for sure.
Good, good. Yeah, so, you know, my Florida State Seminoles had this week off, so they couldn't lose, so that's good. I mean,
always a good thing.
I mean, with Florida State's history, usually when they had a bye week, that's usually when bad things happen. So
time off can be, being idle ain't always the best thing. It's a lot of free time for kids, so yeah, for sure.
You got Jameis Winston yelling things out back in the day. Can't really repeat that, but man. But what a show we had last night, NXT No Mercy, that took place in Bakersfield, California. Great show. Tonight we have Wrestle Dream taking place in Seattle, Washington. It's been a crazy week just with wrestling news. Jade Cargill signing with the World Wrestling Entertainment. Mm-hmm. And we were gonna talk football as well, like we usually do. We were going to talk about that Toy Story debacle. Which is something else. We were also going to do something about, we were going to talk about this Sinister Six Spider-Man, but we didn't really get to do much promotion on it. So not really sure if we'll do that because we usually tend to go as we please. So we'll see how it goes today. But, and I was going to have you talk about your Eddie Kingston article that you wrote, because that was really good. But, overall, what do you think? I know you said you had some friends over for NXT last night. What do you think?
Yeah, me and my man Brian Z did kind of a watch along last night. I enjoyed it a lot, man. I enjoyed it a lot. I think Friday was my first HBK conference call. It's really interesting to hear him talk about what he thinks NXT is supposed to be, what he's trying to create. It is very, very... as campy as it can be, the characters have real motivations. It's not just, like he described, it's not just, I'm angry with you, let's wrestle. Like, it's deeper than that. I thought that the story they've been telling in their main event with Carmelo Hayes and Trick Williams specifically, I think has been done really well. And I thought last night may be the best that they've done it, in that you have Trick Williams, you know, beat the guy, Dominic Mysterio, that nobody can beat. And you have, you know, for an hour, he and Melo are both champions. And then Melo puts on an amazing match with Dragunov. Dragunov has to pull out every single stop to beat him. But now you see maybe there's some doubt in Melo. So that story was told really well. I love, you know, Becky Lynch is just an absolute ring general. She really, really is. And I thought she got something out of Tiffany Stratton that, you know, who knew if that was there? I thought they executed that really well. I enjoyed the show. I enjoyed the show a lot. It is, you know, NXT, regardless of situation, is the show that I'm going to watch every Tuesday. Like, that's, if I'm watching one wrestling show a week, it's probably going to be NXT. And yeah, I think that it was done really well. That was a very, very good show last night. Great crowd. It was really good. Absolutely.
It's funny how that's changed, like, over time, NXT, because a few months ago, that was not the case. Mm-hmm. Nobody wanted to watch NXT, and how they've changed that. You actually want to watch NXT now. That shows just how far they've been able to go. And what do you think changed that mindset for a lot of people? Or what do you think, like, do you think Shawn Michaels was realizing, like, this stuff's too, like, this is too me? Like, because it seemed like a lot of his storytelling was, we were noticing, like, a lot of the storytelling that they were doing in NXT was based off things that he did, like he had past stories with.
Yeah, I mean, there's absolutely parallels between Trick and Mello and HBK Diesel. Like, that's very much there. And to a different extent, Shawn Michaels and Triple H. Like, it's a lot of that exists there. You know what I think changed? I think that he got some athletes. He got some athletes who play convincing characters, like Tiffany Stratton being Daddy's little girl. I think she's very, very good at that. Trick and Mello being those, you know, top level cool athletes, like, that's there. You know, Bron Breakker really leaning into the worst parts of being a Steiner, like, that's really good. So, you know, I really do not think that the content is so different. Like, even if you don't think a movie is good, you put the right actors in the movie, people will go see it. You know what I mean? Like they drive. Directors very rarely drive you to the box office. It's who in front. And I think that his principal cast got really, really good. And so people will indulge the more zany, wacky parts of HBK. But again, I also think that he's been given time to tell the stories that he wants. And what starts off as goofy and silly becomes more relatable over time, I think.
Yeah. No, I think you hit it right on the head there. So yeah, last night we saw Becky Lynch beat Tiffany Stratton in a great match. There were some parts that didn't go, that weren't the best, but I mean, that happens in those kind of like extreme rules matches. Mm-hmm. But they both still made it look great. I thought they went all out. Becky made Tiffany look good.
It's the first time in like 2.5 years that a women's match main evented an NXT PLE. So good for them. And again, Becky Lynch can main event any show at any point because she's Becky Lynch. You know what I mean? So yeah, it was great. It really was.
Yeah, and I thought that was a good call last night going with them, because it added a little bit more intrigue too, because of I was not expecting Jade Cargo by any means, but it did add that intrigue that there was a possibility. So I think that added to it, which I liked, but I enjoyed the match too. Both women put it all out there. And the one thing that I saw some people, and granted, I don't know if you know this, but wrestling Twitter can be kind of ridiculous at times.
Can they?
Yeah. That's
can they?
Yeah. Fightful Select can report. But I saw some people were upset, like, oh, Becky should have put Tiffany back over. And I'm like, well, nah, not necessarily. She still made Tiffany look like $1 million last night. Tiffany Stratton's, she has a lot of fans now than she
absolutely
had 2 months ago. So they're doing great. Tiffany Stratton's doing fine. She'll be fine. She's doing great. She's going to be when they make her a babyface, she's just going to go even higher.
Yeah, when it's time to turn that around, again, the athleticism is really, really there. When it's time to turn her, they're going to have a star. I absolutely believe they're going to have a main roster star when it's time to do that, for sure.
And then we had a new NXT champion, heavyweight champion.
Yeah, man.
This actually, I was down with this. I liked it. I love Carmelo Hayes. I love Carmelo Hayes, but I was wondering what was going on. Like, if this was time to change this. Ilya Dragunov defeated Carmelo Hayes in a good match, mm-hmm. really good match. I loved it. And we have a new champion. This match was fantastic. What do you think of this one?
Great. It was great. Of course, you know, saw him live in the end of July. You know, when Melo retained Dragunov, I was trying to describe it last night. Like, a good wrestler wrestles you like he'll kill you. A great wrestler wrestles you like he'll kill himself to kill you. Dragunov is just amazing at that. Like, they used to call, you know, Sabu was homicidal, genocidal, suicidal. And I was like, Sabu's great and he does crazy stuff and he takes risks. Dragunov is putting his body into every single thing that he does. He is not worried about his safety. He's worried about hurting. Yeah, I thought it was great. And, you know, Dragunov not being 30 is like the weirdest kind of, it's true, but if somebody told you he was 38, you'd believe him. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the way he carries himself. Yeah, man, it was a fantastic match. You know, Melo had a fantastic 6-month reign. But Dragunov is absolutely the type of guy who can dethrone a great champion. And Melo looked strong. It took Dragunov had to do that punch off the top rope to put him down. And it was fantastic. I love that match. I really, really did.
Yeah. And shout out to my co-host Maggie on Coexisting. She was ecstatic because she is a Dragunov fan. She is the biggest NXT UK fan that I know. I mean, well, knew. And hopefully NXT Europe will get going here eventually. But I know how happy she was to see that happen. So cool for her. Very happy for her. Yeah. So moving on from that match, we had, you know, they made Pete Dunne. They made Butch look good because it took 7 people to basically defeat him last night. Mm-hmm. Noam Dar got the win. Gets to keep his heritage title. What do you think of this?
Like you said, you know, NXT UK has produced, and granted, I want to say, like, of course, Pete Dunne was the man before NXT UK was even a thing, right? But the chemistry that those guys have with each other that have been through that circuit is amazing. I don't know if Noam Dar is ever going to be, like, main roster contributor. I think he's great in the position that he's in. He's a fantastic wrestler. You know, Pete Dunne, Butch has been one of the best for so long. I loved it. I loved it. I thought that was really, really great because, again, it's a departure from the other things on the roster. The Heritage Cup rules are still like a little weird, but I like that change up. I thought it was really good. Yeah, I thought it was really good. And yeah, that's like some guy's gimmick is the title. Right? Noam Dar's gimmick is that cup. The thing surrounding it. Yeah, I thought it was really good. I did.
Yeah. I was hoping for Butch to get the win, but I also was like, well, he's on the main roster, so he can't really carry that title with that championship with him. But guys, also get in your super chats or your humper chats. That way that helps this show out. It helps produce this show, keeps us going. So make sure you send those in. We have the 4-way tag team championship real quick. Tony D'Angelo and Channing Stacks Lorenzo retained over Angel Garza, Humberto Carrillo, and the Creed Brothers, along with Out the Mud. I still can't stand that tag team name, but whatever.
It's not for you, Rob. I know. Keep going.
No, I know. I know. It's not for me. I get that, but it is what it is. But I mean, I like the team. I think it's a great team. I just don't like the name. But like you said, it's not for me. I don't understand it. So it's fine. What does it mean?
Getting it out the mud basically means it's another way of saying you came from nothing.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Cool. Okay. I like the name. Like that makes sense then. Like I like that. the way they acted on on NXT, the way they just showed like they wanted to beat the crap out of everybody.
They were shooting dice. HBK had them shooting dice on TV.
Yeah.
It is so like it's I'm I don't know if they'd ever do that in that way on the main roster, because it was no humor in what they were doing. Like, it wasn't like Crime Time, you know what I mean? Yeah. It's I think those guys got a long way to go, but I hope they get to take the time to really see what those guys can produce. Great size, great energy, still figuring it out. It was a good match. You know, they got all the teams in. I really like Tony D's like whole, you know, Tony Soprano Scarface guy. I love it. I love that gimmick. But it was solid. I think the Julius Creed still has the potential out of everybody in that match to really be a star. And I think we'll get there. But yeah, it was fun. It was fun.
I remember the first time I ever saw guys playing shooting dice. You got seventh grade Rob Wilkins in Tallahassee, Florida. Just, what are you guys doing? Just a bunch of guys just playing, and I had no idea. They're like, got any money you want to play? I'm like, I got a dollar. They're like, oh, and then they took my money real quick.
And it was a wrap. It was a wrap.
Yeah, that was it. They're like, dollar, little man, give me my money. Okay. So. But I enjoyed that match. The funniest thing was, who was it that was trying to catch one of the Creed brothers? Did you notice that
when he was doing the cannonball?
Yeah.
Yo, I love that move. I heard springboard.
Oh, cannonball. It was great, but it's like, it's like
I could that guy falling on you. That can't be fun. Yeah, no, for sure. Like,
yeah, no, that ain't gonna work. Oh man. Oh. Trick Williams defeated Dominic Mysterio to win the North American title. I was wanting Trick Williams to win this match, but I was figuring with Judgment Day holding all these titles, I was not expecting it to happen.
Yeah. But then,
when nobody was there for Dominic, I was actually thinking this could actually happen. So congratulations to Trick Williams.
The crowd is so behind him.
Yes.
The crowd is so behind him. And he has a charisma that really nobody else in NXT has right now. It's different. You know, you can't teach size. He has really worked on his physique. You know, he's really worked on his diet. Yeah, man, he's come a long way, and he's still figuring it out. He's not all the way there yet. Shout out to Dominic for like having to lead a title match like for the first time. You know what I mean? Like he's the experienced vet in this match. I thought it was good. And again, the crowd was so behind Trick. It's going to be very interesting Tuesday when Trick makes his congratulations speech or has a segment. It's going to be interesting to see how Melo reacts. I'm very curious.
Melo gave him that eye like on that title. It made it look good. And also like shout out to Dominic, man. He's overcome a lot. And like the night before, I don't know if a lot of people know this, but the night before he actually wrestled John Cena in a dark match in Sacramento. So he had a pretty good little 24 hours there. So good for him. We do have a super chat from our buddy Caden, who will join me on the AW Wrestle Dream pre-show later this afternoon. He says, all right, Cam, are we back? Hook 'em horns.
I mean, we got Oklahoma next week, man. You know, so, you know, that's the test. I think if we get through that game, then it's a pretty straight path to potentially the playoff. But we got to, next week's the game that matters.
Is that in Dallas?
Yes. Red River Rivalry, Cotton Bowl, Dallas.
Are you going?
I haven't been. I think the last time I went was 2015 when we won that game. It'll be 11 a.m. kickoff, man. It should be a good time.
Awesome. Do you know if you're going yet or no?
Oh, I'm not going.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you're not?
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not going. Mm-hmm. Nah, man. What? It's hot outside right now. Global warming. I went to the Rice game. It whooped my ass. So I'll be in the crib.
Man, this is just, I mean, this is kind of crazy here, but they actually canceled the Twin Cities Marathon today, and that was supposed to run today. Like, all these people that train for marathons, and it got canceled. It's like, because of heat in October. It's like, we're not used to that in Minnesota, so it's crazy. It just shows you how things are. And then we go to Baron Corbin over Bron Breakker. If you would have told me that Robert Stone would have been the difference maker in this match, I would have told
shout
you.
Out to Robbie E, baby. Yeah. Yeah, you know, they have not. Again, Shawn Michaels is his own Will Washington in that he is maintaining continuity. He is not, like, losing out on these stories. And, you know, Bron Breakker, Von Wagner, one Shawn. All the names are way too similar. But, you know, they got a beef. They got a beef that's running. And so that ultimately, you know, being what played out, I think it was the way to go. And, you know, Bron Breakker, I think, is in a position where we are so used to it being like a pipeline. We all thought that he was literally going to be on the main roster the Monday after Melo beat him. But they've not gone that route, you know? They've even had Melo acknowledge, I understand why Bron turned into a crazy person. Holding this title will do that to you. Yeah. I think that when they decide to pull the trigger on him, he'll be fine. I don't think wins and losses are a huge thing for him right now, but he's telling a good story. He's telling a good story. And I've always been a big Baron Corbin fan. I love the position that he's in right now. That was really fun. They tore it up for sure.
Yeah. And when you said Will Washington and Shawn Michaels, I was like, oh, is Shawn Michaels walking around singing Heartbreaker? So,
wow.
Yeah. You know, Mariah Carey.
Shout out to Mariah for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that's what's funny. I think of Mariah Carey now. Like, I always picture, like, Will Washington now.
So when you think of Mariah Carey, you imagine Will Washington?
Now I do. Because that's how, it used to be different. Yeah, I know. It's weird.
I dig it.
Yep. Not good. When I was younger, I was convinced it was going to eventually be Mariah Wilkins, because I was in love with that woman, but things change.
I respect it.
Hey. It is what it is now. All right. So the match, we had the pre-show match real quick, Blair Davenport over Kalani Jordan. This match went exactly as I expected. Sounds like for you too.
It was shout out to Ella J, SC Scoops, man. She asked Shawn Michaels on the call if that match was going to happen at the show. He stressed that it was going to be on the kickoff. Love Kalani's little tribute to Dana Brooke doing the double bicep flex into the handspring elbow. I love that. It was cool. It was cool for what it was. She's got a ways to go. Getting new talent in front of a large crowd like that to see how they respond to it, get those reps in, I think is really cool. But yeah, I think with the all new, like, Blair Davenport was the way to go there. Becky Lynch is going to need more challengers. And she's definitely somebody who would be good in that position. So for sure.
All right. So AEW Wrestle Dream tonight. Are you going to be having people over for that?
I think so. I think I told someone, man, Brian Z, like, he left all the Jameson bottles here, so I feel like we're running it back. But yeah, I don't think I'm going to stream. I think I might try to just enjoy it as I watch Bijan Robinson just do Bijan Robinson things. It's so beautiful. Probably a couple of folks get together for the show. I got to say, like, am I going to watch? Yes. Am I going to enjoy it? Sure. I have no excitement for the show. You know, it just kind of seems to exist. Like, I understand the show itself being like, it's an Inoki tribute, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's dope, and that's really cool. I don't know, the name doesn't really grab me. We all of a sudden don't have Adam Cole. That's really unfortunate. But, you know, Max is going to tear it up. I'm not the biggest Zack Sabre Jr. guy. But not that he's not good. It's just not really my style. But I also think that Danielson's going to get the best out of him. Like, whatever I don't like, I'm going to see the very best version of what Zack Sabre Jr. can do, because that's what Daniel Bryan does. Rick and Yuta, it is continuing kind of, you know, Rick's story against Danielson and the BCC. Like, that's cool. It's cool. But I will say this. Swerve and Hangman feels like a huge deal. It really does feel like a huge deal. I think that what I've always kind of said about Swerve was that the gimmick doesn't matter because the wrestling is so good. Like, even when they were first kind of figuring out this, like, mogul stuff, it wasn't really hidden for me, but I was like, no, but Swerve's wrestling is so good. It doesn't matter what he's doing before or after the bell, you know? But him and Hangman, they're right there. Like, in a lot of ways, to me, it's like, and granted, they're not these people, but here's what my point is. It's a lot like Intercontinental title era Rock and Austin, in that I know what these guys are going to be, even though, you know, Hangman's already been AEW champion, right? But it is very much like Swerve's right there on the precipice. He understands who's in front of him. He wants to murder that guy for his spot. I think it's going to be great. Like, I understand there are reasons that the main events, I think we all believe. I sent some angry text messages to certain people who work in certain buildings about, hey, I better get the call when that thing happens so that we can put that on paper. But yeah, man, I'm excited for Swerve, for Hangman. I think they're going to tear it up.
Yeah. And I am too. This match is going to be really good. I'm excited to see the reaction that Swerve's going to get tonight. And even the reaction that Darby and Nick Wayne will likely get, and Brian Danielson, we know we'll get. We got to see it for Brian last night. So it's going to be good stuff tonight. And then they also added, I don't know if you saw it, I assume you probably did, but they added Claudio versus Barrett. So
yeah.
Or Barnett, rather.
Josh Barnett. Josh Barnett. Out of nowhere. Like, I think we were looking at the card last night. Brian was like, what? But they're going to beat the shit out of each other. That's
gonna be fun. That's more than likely who Moxley was gonna fight, like if he was gonna be there. So, but good for Claudio, he's gonna be on the card. This show looks good, and so it sounds like you are planning to see Mr. Copeland on the show tonight.
I don't know why else you main event with the TNT title. I don't know why else you made him. And Christian is doing fantastic work. Christian, once he cut his hair, and this is what, 15 years ago? Christian has been one of the best wrestlers in the world since that point. If you lined up everybody from the TLC era, and they said, which one of these people is going to be a fantastic solo act? I don't think anybody's putting money on Christian. I just don't think so. And he has just been, since Captain Charisma, since Creepy Little Bastard, he's been an absolute revelation. He's one of my favorites of all time since that time. So you know he's going to carry his end. That's going to be very fun. But yeah, man, it just feels like, you know, I was surprised, not that Edge wanted to continue wrestling, but that he was so hell-bent on doing new things creatively. And that doesn't die via injury, you know, like that piece of you. And we forget, not forget in the sense of we don't know what happened, but Edge was robbed of his prime. And so when you don't think you're going to wrestle again, you probably sit around all day wondering what could have been creatively. And he got the chance to do that again. And I think he's there tonight. I think that is the safest money on a surprise appearance I think anybody could ever have. I might take bets.
Yeah. That's the thing. I was actually kind of disappointed when they announced that was going to be the main event, because I was like, well, now you're just, and then like, now you're just saying what it is. But then I also thought about it from the perspective of like, okay, well, the wrestling, internet wrestling is a small percentage of the product or the people that watch. So I'm like, okay, so a small percentage basically figures out this is likely going to happen. So, okay, I get it now. So the thing that I'm kind of wondering is if he's not there, I'm curious about the reaction that Tony Khan and the company is going to get. mainly Tony Khan's going to get if he's not there, because it's not, he's going to get savaged. He gets savaged every week. It doesn't matter. And he shouldn't.
Bless his heart.
Because, yeah, you know, the guy pays for us to do shows, as you've heard. One of the dumbest things I've heard, too. But anyways, what do you think this new era talk is?
I have no fucking idea. Like, genuinely, I have no idea. So let me say this. I'm not AEW insider, but I also feel like if it was something new and crazy, somebody would have told me something. And they might have told somebody else. I'm just saying, I feel like I would have heard something. You know what I mean? And, you know, put on two women's matches, Tony. Do that. Do that. Like you don't need to reinvent the wheel. What you have is fresh and different from WWE and the crazy moves and the fast-paced matches. Like, you have that. So I have no idea what new era means to him. You know what I mean? But we'll see. We'll see. Yeah. I've literally no insight into what that means whatsoever.
Yeah, some people, that's the thing that's been interesting about this more than anything, is the speculation. I've seen some people say this is where they announced the HBO Max deal. So I'm like, there's been that. There's been talks about, seen the rumor about New Japan, which I was like, I don't see that happening at all, him purchasing New Japan. I don't, because I just don't see Bushiroad selling right now, but that's just me. But we'll see. It looks like a great show. And I'll just go over the card real quick here for everybody. Obviously, Brian Danielson versus Zack Sabre Jr., Swerve Strickland versus Hangman. The main event, AEW TNT Champion 2 out of 3 falls, Darby Allin challenging Christian Cage. The AEW World Tag Team Championship, FTR versus Aussie Open. You have Kenny Omega, Chris Jericho, Kota Ibushi versus Don Callis family, which is Takeshita, Sammy Guevara, and Will Ospreay. Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship, which is a handicap match between MJF versus The Righteous, Vincent and Dutch. You have the Ring of Honor World Championship and New Japan Strong Openweight Championship, Eddie Kingston defending both titles against Shibata, which I can't wait for this match. AEW TBS Championship, Julia Hart challenging Chris Statlander. Then you also have the Young Bucks versus Lucha Brothers, versus Orange Hook versus the Guns, where the winner gets AEW tag team title match at any time. Then we have Ricky Starks, your guy, versus Wheeler Yuta. And then 0 Hour, we have the World Trios Championship match with the Acclaim taking on TMDK. Then we have Shane Taylor, Lee Moriarty, Diamante, and Mercedes Martinez taking on Kojima, Keith Lee, Athena, and Billy Starks. Luchasaurus versus Nick Wayne. Claudio versus Josh Barnett. So
it's a good card. It's a good card. It really is. Again, it's something about, like, I don't know, brand new pay-per-views don't like move me in that way, but like, it should be really good. Like, it's the wrestling. We know what that's going to be. I'm excited to see it. And yeah, it has like main eventing with your, I don't know, 4th or 5th most popular title. And everybody wants to see the main event for what's going to happen. That's a win. That's absolutely a win. And shout out to Nick Wayne. Like, he was in high school.
Yeah.
He was in high school 4 months ago.
Yeah, man, that's crazy. He's
main eventing a pay-per-view for the 2nd largest wrestling company in the world.
Yeah. And what's crazy is he's going to have friends that he went to high school with in that, at the, more than likely at that show. And I just couldn't imagine, like
it's crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Cause like, think about like all the kids who are like, what you wrestle, wrestling's weird. And then like they have friends and family who are like, yo, ain't that the kid you went to high school with? Like, he's been wrestling in front of 10,000 people. Like, yeah. That's amazing, man. Like salute. His friend in high school is also on the card. Who is that, Caden?
Yeah.
No, Billy Starks?
No, I don't think so.
Because she was homeschooled. I don't know, whatever.
Kentucky, so I don't know.
Yeah, that's not, whatever. But Caden, don't be half a nerd. Say what you mean when you say stuff like that. Smart ass. Billy, yeah. So they're like, I don't know, wrestling kids, you know, even though they're in school, they got to do stuff on the road and stuff like that. So yeah, for sure.
Gotcha, I know what he means now. The high school friend, gotcha. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, some lady named Jerry Cargill signed with WWE this past week. They made it a big deal with letting ESPN announce it. So they went all out making her. I mean, we already know that she's a big deal, like in the wrestling world, but they went out and made her look like even a bigger deal, which is, I really liked that. I really thought that was a good idea on their part. So what did you think of that?
So I understand like your idea and other people's ideas about her, because you're a fucking nerd, Caden. I understand your idea and other people's ideas about her showing up to NXT. I just don't see it. Like I was explaining to people.
I'm gonna clip that.
You should. I was explaining to people that, like, you know, I'm in that group of 100 or 200 or however many people who gets the WWE communications emails. And as long as I think I've been on that list about a year, give or take. Of all those emails, there's never been one about them signing a wrestler. Mm-hmm. Never. Like, they are treating this like they signed the biggest free agent in wrestling history. And they should. And which is why I think she's going to be at the PC training. I think we see her on Raw or SmackDown or a pay-per-view to start. I do not see her in NXT. Just how they're presenting it. You know what I mean? I think that there's a very real argument. And this is not like man talking about a woman. I think, like, I know it's subjective, but I also think there's some objectivity to it. I think that Jade Cargill is the best looking person to ever be in a wrestling ring. I think that, you know, she's gorgeous. Her physique is amazing. The way that she carries herself, the way she dresses, like, I think she's the best looking person to ever enter a wrestling ring. And I think they know that. Like, Jade Cargill was famous for being good looking before she ever entered AEW. Like, yeah. So there's a test that you do to determine if a woman is attractive. Does Joe Budden follow her on Instagram? And I didn't know Jade when Jade debuted. But like me, like everybody else, jumped on the socials to figure out who she was. I saw followed by Joe Budden. I was like, okay, I get it. And you know, that's super unofficial. But again, I just think that Jade Cargill having that look, having that physique, having that presence, but also having the machine behind her that is WWE, unstoppable, man, unstoppable. You know, yeah. Jade is also a wife and a mother too. Like, there's so many things working in her favor. You know what I mean? Like, Jade is attractive without needing to be sexual. You know what I mean? Like, she's special. It is different with Jade Cargill, and they know that. And boy, again, the machine behind her, the right people in her ear, the ability to promote, it's amazing. It really is.
Yeah. There is there's something like real special about her. And I remember when she debuted in AEW, and I even said the same thing. And I remember saying to one of my friends that we were watching, I go, I can't believe the WWE passed on her. I go, I can't, just looking at her, I like, how did they pass on her? Like, she has the look they want. And but now they got her. So, and I can't wait to see what they do. I know WWE has a tendency to, everybody they bring in usually starts off as a heel. In my opinion, this one does not need, they don't need her to start off as a heel. She's been a heel her entire career until like the kind of the last her last match, really. Yeah, and she wasn't even a heel there. I mean, that was more of a, I don't know, I don't consider that a heel, what she was, but I think she needs to come in as a face. And, you know, depending on what happens, depending with all this Rock information and stuff like that, I could absolutely see her main event WrestleMania this year. I can see that happening, possibly. I give it about 25% right now, but I can see it happening.
It's going to be super interesting. Because, I mean, while every place has their issues, the WWE women's locker room is strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Of course, like, listen, Becky and Charlotte don't like each other. Okay, fine. Outside of that, you don't really hear a lot about infighting or being mad about roles. Like, that's a very strong, supportive locker room. You know, we know that Jade had a strong relationship with Trinity. You know what I mean? So like, there's a camaraderie there. And again, Jade is like, I really enjoy AEW. AEW has proven, and this is men's locker room, women's locker room, whatever, the inmates have ran the asylum for a very long time. You know, and it's not to say who's right or who's wrong, but there has not been a situation where the people in charge have put their foot down and put an end to things like that. And a lot of that is, it's brand new. The AEW needs the wrestlers more than the wrestlers have needed AEW, right? WWE is not that,
yeah.
You know? And so, again, I do not know of a situation where Jade has a problem with anybody in WWE, so I'm not wishing that into existence, but it's just such a great situation for her to come into, man. I think she's going to get a lot of support. I think women in that locker room and men in that locker room, I think they understand what it's going to do for them to make her look great. You know what I mean? To be at their very best around her, because again, she could never touch a wrestling ring again and be famous for just existing. So yeah, it's going to be fun to see. I really think so.
Yeah. Somebody posted that photo of her like in the Storm cosplay, on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And somebody said, who is like, and it was a non-wrestling fan. They're like, that's a really good Storm cosplay. Like I, if she's ever at a Comic Con, I would love to like take a photo with her. That's what the person replied. And she's like, no, she's a wrestler. And she's like, where? And like, I mean, she was already getting interest from somebody who doesn't watch wrestling because of just the Storm cosplay. And I was like, wow.
It's the only person I've ever froze up in front of in wrestling. Yeah. And I've met a lot of people in wrestling. I froze up. Like I'm literally at Wale Mania. I'm standing by Wale and Smoke Diz is right here and Yellow Beezy's right here, West Side Gun's right here. I'm just like, hi, I'm Cameron. I'm Rick's friend. I'm locked up, Rob. That is she has an aura about her, man. It is different. It really is. Yeah, man. That they're gonna print money with her, man. Like, it's amazing.
Yeah, mine was Sunny before the crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Way back when. So that was where I kind of like just forgot who I was. All right. So we're going to skip that Spider-Man talk this week because we're already like into the NFL talk. Since I'm not what, I don't have the game on. What's the score for the Falcons?
17-7 Jacksonville. Bijan Robinson is doing amazing things. Desmond Ridder is absolutely terrible. I threw back-to-back picks. The Falcons are going to have to really invest in defense if they plan on riding Ridder out. Because they got to have a lead. Because I think this touchdown is the first time they've scored in, like, 8 quarters. Like, it's a lot, man. Wow. It's a lot. Yeah.
All right. Before we go into the NFL, I wanted you to plug your Eddie Kingston article. I thought it was really good.
Yeah. So, immediately, like literally the night that he won the Ring of Honor world title, I hit up AEW media. I was like, yo, you got to get me Eddie. Like, you got to get me Eddie. We did the, we did an interview, but I told Sean, you know, we put it on Fight Class. Sean, I'm not going to write anything. He was like, what do you mean? I was like, no, I'm not dressing this up. I'm not prettying it up, not putting icing on this cake. I just want people to get the raw, uncut conversation with me and Eddie. Because I think that he's so authentic. I feel like in this instance, because again, it wasn't like Eddie Kingston career retrospective. It's us talking about a moment in time and what it meant to him. And so it was really important that I just gave the conversation. A couple of days after, I did release it as a podcast because the conversation flowed so naturally. I thought people should really hear that. But yeah, man, we talked about winning the title, how important it was to do it against Claudio, how important it was to do it in New York. If it sunk in, we talked about his parents, his victory meal. Yeah, man, it was great. It was great. We talked about physiques and perception, and we got to really have that conversation. I loved it, man. Eddie Kingston is, and you know, I told him straight up. I said, look, man, before we started recording, I said, as somebody who deals with depression, like, you existing means so much. Like, you just being you means so much. It was great, man. I really, I would love to have a conversation with him anytime he wanted to have a conversation. It was that was an honor for me.
Yeah.
I got paid to talk to Eddie Kingston. It was great.
Yeah, that's awesome. I don't pay to meet wrestlers like I used to, you know, do the autograph signings and stuff. But I wanted to meet Dax Harwood after he did a shout out for me, like Chris, our friend Chris Mueller of Bleacher Report did a, like when he was doing interviews, he always had people do shout outs, and he did a shout out for me because of my depression issues. And so I really wanted to meet Cash and Dax, but so I like, this is the only way I'm going to be able to do it. So I paid to do it. And, like I told Dax how much that meant to me for him to do that. So Eddie Kingston was also there. And so I'm like, you know what? I'm going to do it for Eddie too. I'm going to pay for, to see Eddie because he's the same way. Like he has the same issues I do. And I met him and I talked to him. And the day I met him, I was wearing my Ice Cube shirt and it was right after he wore that DMX shirt on Dynamite last year. And he goes, oh, I love your shirt. And because I brought it up, I go, dude, your DMX shirt you wore last week was, like just awesome. He goes, I like your Ice Cube shirt, man. And I was like, if I was wearing a shirt underneath this, I would give it to you. And he's like, yeah, that's probably good. And just the way the interaction went, it was just really good. But he was really authentic, and that's what I loved. And I've never met a wrestler that was authentic like that.
It's different. Yeah. Jumps off the charts, man. You feel it. It radiates. Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, so let's get into, so definitely check that out on Fightful. So let's get into some NFL talk here. So we already know Atlanta and Jacksonville's going. Miami and Buffalo, this matchup, this could be a high-scoring game. Not because of what happened last week, but just because of both teams.
Miami's, like, figured out, we're just going to put the fastest team ever together. Our quarterback is fragile, and I'm not saying that as an insult. I'm saying it as like a medical fact. So what we're going to do is we're going to design plays to get the ball out of his hands in 2 seconds and let our guys just work. And then Josh Allen is like, it's weird to call like the guy on the cover of Madden raw talent, right? Like you shouldn't be raw talent. You should be like locked in. But, you know, he figured out who he was again when he played Washington. That tends to happen to people. Yeah, man, it might be 40 to 50. That might be really, really fun. Yeah.
You think Miami goes in and wins?
Yes. I don't think anybody beats Miami until somebody beats Miami.
All right. So I actually have Miami winning too.
Mm-hmm.
And the exciting matchup of the day, Denver at Chicago. Will we see the tweet from Seth Rollins today?
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not going to be good. Not that Denver's good, but Denver also isn't like Sean Payton is too much pride not to try to hang 40 on Chicago today. They're going to do everything they can to score a million zillion points. And Justin Fields, like, I don't know if Justin Fields will be a good quarterback or not. What I do know is Chicago is not the place to find out if you're a good quarterback or not, because Chicago has not had a good quarterback in 30 years, like almost 40 years.
Yeah.
Like it's tough. It's tough. Yeah. Yeah. It might be a rough one.
Yeah. Yeah. It's this match. I think Denver's going to win. And you know, the thing that's crazy is like Russell Wilson gets a lot of blame, but he's actually put up really good numbers.
Yeah. He's playing well.
Yeah. So, yeah, Denver gets a win, and we will see the Seth Rollins tweet later today. It was just announced that Deshaun Watson will not be playing today. So we got Baltimore at Cleveland. So this is pretty much an easy one for me to pick.
Baltimore should. I mean, they should be 4-0. They had a million injuries last week. It's wild that like Justin Tucker is expected to make 60-yard field goals. But yeah, I think they're off the snide. They get back to they maintain that that first place in the AFC North for sure.
Cincinnati at Tennessee. This one, the way Cincinnati's been playing is just boggles my mind in a way. It's a different team that we're used to seeing in the past 2 years. However, I think Tennessee will lose at home. I do think Cincinnati will win. What surprised me more than anything this week was seeing Joe Burrow off the injured list, like completely. So I do think Bengals will get the win against the Titans. Derrick Henry is not Derrick Henry that we know. He's not done well. But
listen, remember Blake Griffin?
Oh yeah.
And when I say remember Blake Griffin, Blake Griffin ain't dead.
Yeah.
Griffin is still in the league. But I remember somebody saying about Blake Griffin, listen. Like anyone else, there's only so many jumps in those knees. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just what it is. There's only so many jumps in those knees. Mm-hmm. Derrick Henry is the largest human being ever, but 30 carries a game catches up to everyone. I'll never forget, Eddie George with the year they went to the Super Bowl, the Tennessee Titans in the Super Bowl, Eddie George was the man. And the next year, he was the man. And then he went to Dallas, and I have never seen a steeper decline in a running back. And again, it's not like none of that's a knock. The knees just got so many carries, man. When it's gone, it's gone. You know? And Derrick Henry, of course, like, is still going to be able to do very amazing things, but it's never going to be the same. That's just not how the body works. Eventually, that thing just changes.
Yeah. It's
another reason they'll never pay running backs.
Yeah, which is sad because they're the they need to get paid, but I also understand, like, from a business perspective, I see what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, from a business perspective, I get it because they don't have longevity.
Yeah.
We have this one. I think actually going to be a good matchup. And I say from a fantasy standpoint, LA Rams at Indianapolis.
And Anthony Richardson is fun to watch.
Yes. And I saw somebody in the chat earlier say what we thought about Anthony Richardson. And that's exactly what I was going to say. He's fun to watch. He's playing today. So I'm
properly scouted. Like, everybody saw it, but like whoever saw it first, if he was still at Florida right now, he'd be way up in the Heisman talks. Like, he's incredible. He is very, very fun to watch. I can't wait to see him play again. I really like him. When Jonathan Stewart gets back, they're going to be very fun together. Absolutely.
Taylor, yeah.
Yep. Jonathan Taylor, yeah, not Jonathan Stewart. This isn't Oregon. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's all good. This match is going to be good. This game is going to be good, I think. Fantasy-wise, it's going to be sneaky too. I think I'm my DraftKings lineup has quite a few guys from this one, and by all means, people, do not listen to me when I give fantasy advice, because it's not good at all. Tampa at New Orleans.
Yeah, Derek Carr is back, I think, right? Baker Mayfield is still not good. However, like, everybody around him is very good, so he might be good. Like, I like New Orleans. I think their defense is really, really good. But that's a toss up. It really is.
Yeah. And Carr is playing. He does have a sprained AC joint. So, but I still think New Orleans will get the victory here because Kamara's back today too.
Yeah, he's free.
Yep. Washington at Philadelphia.
You know, Washington is the last team to really beat Philadelphia last year. I think they caught them, you know, lackadaisical. Philly's still figuring out that offense. And of course, I feel like they're probably going to figure it out today at noon. But Washington can't decide if they're a good defense or not. Sam Howell had a very, very bad game after some really, really good games. It's hard for me to take anybody against Philly, even my team. I just think Philly has guys everywhere. You can't beat them in short yardage. And Jalen Hurts is only going to get more comfortable in this offense. I say all that to say I got to take Washington because if I didn't, I'd be that guy. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I get it. Minnesota at Carolina. My Minnesota Vikings are 0-3.
Minnesota wins, but like, I don't know. Kirk Cousins isn't good.
Well, he's.
No. Listen to me. Kirk Cousins puts up numbers. Kirk Cousins is not good. He's always put up numbers, and he's never been good. Like, good quarterbacks win playoff games.
Okay, so let me ask you then. How does a quarterback? Okay, well, I guess
score more points than the other team. Don't turn the ball over.
Okay, well, I know. Yeah, that's a good point. I mean,
I'm not trying to cut you off because what you say, I know where you're going, but so what? It's Kirk Cousins. He's fucking terrible. We paid him all that money to do nothing, and then y'all pay him all that money to do nothing.
Yeah. And it's true. It's damn true. And that's what I'm just baffled by, how a guy can have good numbers and just not be good.
He's a good quarterback. He's clearly a good quarterback. He puts up really good numbers, makes good throws. Again, the stats jump off the page. When it matters, he does not deliver.
Yeah. Is it like a pressure thing? Like his own pressure gets thrown?
Well, no, I just think he's not that good. I think that he's numbers guy. He's not win the game guy. And they're different things. You know what I mean? I just do not trust him to execute down the stretch.
Yeah.
And he's never executed down the stretch. Like, we're not talking about Dan Marino where, wow, I'm great and everything around me seems to crumble. It's not that. It's, I cannot get this super talented team over the hump. Like, Justin Jefferson is going to be great. I feel like Kirk Cousins wasted Dalvin Cook, wasted Adam Thielen. You know, it's not personal. He just don't get it done, man. I watched him not get it done for me. I'm watching him not get it done for you. It's just what the case is.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see if depending on how Minnesota does, like within the next few weeks, I'm curious to see if he's up for, and I doubt he is because he's, and there's nothing wrong when I say this, don't get me wrong. He's such a family man that I don't see him waiving his no trade clause.
Yeah, I don't like. I do think that, like, for all the bad things I say about him, New York is set up for him to succeed. They also don't want to hurt Aaron Rodgers' feelings.
Yeah,
like they signed him to get him over the hump. They can't bring in Kirk Cousins on a 1-year deal and then say, like, dog. Imagine if they brought Kirk Cousins in and got to the AFC Championship game. Yeah. You got to run it back. You have no choice but to run it back, right? So, no, you can't risk it, man. You can't risk it. They're in a tough spot.
Yep. So, Pittsburgh at Houston. You know,
Pittsburgh. That CJ Stroud is good.
Yeah.
That CJ Stroud is good. Because everything's wrestling. So, That's something I've been working on that did not come to fruition. Maybe we can do it after the season, but my friend is his agent. So I was trying to set something up with him before the season. I think it really would have resonated now that he's clearly like good, but that's something I'm going to try to do in the off season, like do an interview with him and really kind of break down probably his rookie year. I think that'll be fun. And like my chance to really branch out with stuff that I do too. So like, yeah, expect that, guys, expect that.
Very cool. Guys, we're down the home stretch, so if you want to get any super chats in, please do. It helps the show out a lot. Moving on. So, oh, who do you have winning?
You said it's Houston and Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
I like Houston. That Pittsburgh defense is not what it's been. I think Kenny Pickett is very all right. Najee Harris... a lot of hype coming out. I don't think it's really, really translated. And I don't think that's any fault of his. I think you have to have a good passing game to have a good running game. And they have not put that together yet. I like Houston, man. I think Houston can score a bunch of points. Also, related to this game, the disappearance of Chase Claypool. Yeah. I did think he was drafted way too high for what the system he was in. It's interesting with somebody being so disinterested in their profession. And that happens. Like, I'm not knocking the guy. A lot of people don't want to go to work. But it just seems like, wow, like he should be better than what he's been. And it seems to be non-football related why he's not very good. It's interesting.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. And I have Houston winning this too, surprisingly. I at the beginning of the week, I actually was like, I think this is one of those games where Pittsburgh will go in, but Houston, I think, will get this victory. Moving on, we have the LA Chargers, or excuse me, Las Vegas at the LA Chargers. Chargers are going to win this one. There's no Jimmy Garoppolo. He's out with concussion.
Are they going to win?
I think so.
Like, boy. Watching a coach try to throw away his job in real time is fascinating.
It right? is. Yeah.
They better win. If they don't win, it's his last day. They better win. Yeah, man. Ooh.
Yeah. No, I can. I mean, that's true. Yeah. New England at Dallas. Dallas lost to the team that they shouldn't have lost to last week, the Arizona Cardinals. The Dallas that I come to know, when you expect them to win a game, they don't. When you expect them to lose a game, they do. Or vice versa, whatever. But I actually think this is going to be a sneaky game for Dallas, but I think Dallas will pull it out. And I want to add one thing. Mike McCarthy, for an NFL head coach, the guy, I've never seen a head coach be so bad with clock management.
Yeah. Yeah, that was not, it was terrible execution at the end of last week. I think Dallas wins, but I also like, boy, a Bill Belichick defense against a quarterback with confidence issues. Boy, that's going to be fun. I think we're going to see some really cool stuff, but also, like, Dallas is just so ridiculously talented, man. But I'll tell you what, Trayvon Diggs, for him to be, you know, he's talented, but he's also risky. I do not think I even realized how much he meant to that defense. Uh-huh. His ability to be able to take risks because of what happens in front of him, when you don't have anybody back there willing to take risks, I think it throws everything off. So I like Dallas just because I think that New England has to do so many things to move the ball. There's so much subterfuge and confusion and manipulation. I don't think that a team like that can beat a Dallas. Like, say what you want about Arizona. There's talent in that run game and with those receivers. Like, they have top-flight talent. And Josh Dobbs, he's a fucking rocket scientist, man. Like, he's going to put it together. But yeah, I just do not think that New England has the guys to match up with Dallas's guys.
Yeah. Yep. I think Dallas gets a win here too. So speaking of Josh Dobbs and the Arizona Cardinals take on the San Francisco 49ers. 49ers will get this victory. That was a fluke win last week, I think, for the Cardinals. I don't see the Cardinals going into San Fran getting this victory. How about yourself?
San Francisco is so complete, man. Mm-hmm. They're so complete. I got San Francisco. I don't have San Francisco losing a game unless Geno Smith goes crazy one day, which he's been known to do, or they run into the Phillies and Dallases of the world. San Francisco's got it, man. They just, everything's so together. You have Christian McCaffrey might be the best running back in the league. He's absolutely the running back that can do the most things, right?
Yeah.
Debo Samuel can run the ball, catch the ball. George Kittle, very, very hard to defend. Brandon Ayuk as a number two receiver. Like, and then they found the third receiver kid. Like, they are very, very – and that defense is stellar. Yeah, yeah. I got them winning for sure.
Yeah. Taylor Swift and the Kansas City Chiefs in New York taking on the Jets. Kansas City Chiefs got this victory in hand.
They're going to hang a million on the Jets, boy. Ooh, they're going to hang a million points on the Jets. Taylor Swift. Yeah, man. I ain't saying no bad words about that. Like, no, I don't know how that goes.
No, I know. No, I'm not either. I'm just saying, like, they got the Swifties behind them now, and that's a good – that adds money. I said last week when she was at that game, I go, congratulations to Travis Kelce, who's going to get that money for all those jerseys he sold.
Yeah, man. And I hope that they say, you know, we had a good time. We're just friends, just so he doesn't face backlash. Because, you know, it can only go, you either got to marry her or shake her hand and walk away because, yeah, you know how that goes. But, yeah man, that should be they're going to put up numbers. That's going to be a fun game. Are they the night game tonight?
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, we'll get the Chris Collinsworth love fest.
They'll be on the iPad because everybody wants to watch fucking Wrestle Dream. But yeah.
True. And then tomorrow night's game, Seattle at the New York Giants.
I like Seattle. Again, Geno Smith, his resurgence has been amazing. I think that, you know, did they have to pay Daniel Jones? No. Did they? Yes. Yeah, they're fine. But yeah, I like Seattle. I like Seattle in that game.
Yeah, Seattle's going to a place where Geno Smith is used to playing, so it'll be interesting to see how he does there. He's going to be on a different sideline than he's used to being on, so that'll be good. But I think Seattle gets the victory there too. And yeah, so that's going to wrap up our show. Cam, what you got going on this week?
This week actually not too much. Again, I've talked to my people at WWE about Jade. I've talked to my people at AEW about that potential debut tonight. So if those things happen, I'm going to be working on some stuff concerning that. But actually a very, you know, a slower week, first week of October, not a whole lot, man. You know, might do some streaming, but please, yeah, check out the Eddie Kingston article on Fightful. Check out the podcast version, South Congress with a K, on all your DSPs and podcast places. But yeah, that's and then, you know, Texas OU, 11 a.m. Central kickoff Saturday. That's kind of where my mind's going to be focused on this coming week. So yeah.
Yeah, and my Florida State takes on Virginia Tech on Saturday, and this Wednesday I'll be at I'm a baseball fan, so I'll be at the Twins playoff game on Wednesday night, so I'm looking forward to that.
Very nice.
Other than that, I don't got much going on. Friday you'll catch me on Coexisting with Rob and Maggie at 3 o'clock Eastern. At the bottom you can see, you can follow me, at Rob Wilkins, on X or Twitter, whatever the hell you want to call it. And you can see where you can follow Seahawk there. Otherwise, follow our social medias at Fightful on Twitter, Fightful Online on Facebook, Instagram, or Threads, and on TikTok at Fightful.com. So want to say thank you to everybody that joined us. I hope you enjoy AEW Wrestle Dream. We do have a pre-show on Fightful Select today at 2 o'clock Eastern. I'll be on there. Maggie will be on there. Chris Mueller of Bleacher Report will be on there. Got a couple other people joining us. So want to say thank you to everybody for tuning in today. It means a lot to us. Hope to see you next week. And yeah, enjoy WrestleDream. Enjoy your football Sunday. Thank you very much. We'll talk to you later.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.